your Columbia station opens the Garden Gate. You're invited to come into the gardens of America with Tom Williams, the old dirt dauber, and his two willing swingers on the garden gate. Audrey Holmes asks your questions, and Paul Oliphant tends to the garden chores here and there. Also, we will tell you about today's honor gardener in the Order of the Green Thumb, and bring you another of those original garden verses from a listener. Now we open the garden gate and turn you over to Columbia's friendly talker about plants and birds, the old dirt dauber.
And Paul, that just prompts us to say, since we mentioned last week, for a couple of weeks we've been talking about birds and the taming of birds, having them eat out of your hand, we asked for a response from our listeners along that line, and we just say we could conduct a month's program now and talking about nothing but birds and using nothing but the material which has come from our listeners, and very interesting indeed. And, of course, birds belong in the garden. There is one very interesting letter from Saunderstown, Rhode Island. And along with other listeners, she writes about how chickadees and catbirds and such are tamed to eat out of your hand. Well, I think we're going to compile all of this and give somewhat of a resume of it a week or two from now. And we may be able to help some of our other friends, particularly the man who had a lifelong ambition, you know, to have one of the wild birds eat out of his hand. I'm Matt, the lady in Saunderstown, Rhode Island. We have heard from her before. She's one of our green summers. And she mentions the interesting fact that even that far, they had a mockingbird that stayed with them a little while last winter. Well, we have the full moon now. And about 2:30 the other morning, a mockingbird just outside our own bedroom window here was just splitting his throat. 2:30 in the morning in the moonlight, and that's characteristic of the mockingbirds. Well, I suppose, inasmuch as we have questions about trees, plants, flowers, we'd better go out into the garden. And where shall we start, Audrey, and what shall we talk about?
Since you talked about pink dogwoods, quite a few questions have come. This listener from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, writes that hers bloomed last spring, but now the tree is filled with tiny buds again, and she's afraid they'll be frozen this winter. Is there any way to prevent this?
Well, we wish we could solve all of the garden worries of all of our listeners as easily as we can solve that one. You need have no worry at all about those buds of dogwood. It is the habit. The flowering dogwood always forms the buds for next year, along in late summer and early fall. So they'll go through the winter with perfect safety, regardless of how severe the weather may be, and they'll bloom at their usual time next spring. Now, you can look at any flowering dogwood now, and you can tell just exactly how many blooms it's going to have next spring. So don't worry about that.
One of our longtime listeners in Keene, New Hampshire, remembers that some years ago you offered to send a folder on how to produce different colors in a log fire. Is that still available?
Yes, we call that colored fire. That's all they had to ask for. It gave the chemicals to be used in mixing with sawdust or otherwise in putting on logs for colored flames in the log fire. We're just going to say, if you'd like to have it, we'll send it to you. Just address your request to the Garden Gate, Nashville 3, Tennessee. But first, look in your stores, your local stores, and see if they have a thing which is called Driftwood Glow. That is a powder already mixed up, and you won't have to do any mixing yourself. That's better than the instructions which we had in our little folder. There is another thing called a Fire Magic Color Sticks. It's wax, paraffin, and with all of these colors mixed in. You put on the logs, and that paraffin melts, and the material chemicals run into the wood, and they burn for about an hour there in colored flames. So look in your store for the Fire Magic Color Sticks or Driftwood Glow. If you can't find them, write, and we'll tell you the dealer who does have them. But we do have the folder if you still want it.
Among other things, this Springfield, Missouri gardener asks if you can give her the name of the dealer who has the best of all the different kinds of daffodils.
I think that's a very sensible request, because if we are interested in a particular plant as a hobby, we want to get the information from specialists who deal only in that plant. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not good daffodils and narcissus in a great many catalogs, but I think that listener is very much like we are. We like to have a catalog and deal with one who has made a specialty of a particular flower and list them all and probably does nothing but grow that one. Our idea has always been that a fellow like that does a little better job than someone who just grows dozens and dozens of things and possibly daffodils incidentally. Now, there are a great many dealers, and all of them list some fine things. Our idea has been that every year a person who has a garden ought to put in a few new daffodils. Nothing pays better on the investment that we know of, and it's just a hobby of our own. I think one of the most complete catalogs we ever saw is by a dealer out in Oregon. Of course, you understand on such programs as this, we cannot recommend dealers and such, call names even. There are several of them, but any of our friends who are interested in some of the newer daffodils, and if you think that $1 or $2 a bulb is a pretty good price to pay for a daffodil, and it is, you'll find them in these catalogs listed up as high as $50, $75 a bulb. Of course, a person with an ordinary garden has no business paying that much for one daffodil bulb. But that just shows you the wonderful improvements that have been made in that flower, and we don't say they're not worth it. The fact that they are rare and very unusual and very fine, and they multiply so slowly, that occasions, of course, the high price. But there are so many things within reason that we can buy excellent ones each year, just add a few new ones. That probably is one of our greatest hobbies. I mean, the inclusion each year of a few new daffodils is just one of the things we've always preached. So if you'd like to have that catalog, just address your request to us here at the Garden Gate, and we'll send you the name by mail.
These leaves and flowers came from a shrub in Birmingham, Alabama garden. Can you give the right name for them?
Well, they are called Japanese bamboo, sometimes Oriental bamboo. They're pink flowers that form along the stem. They're used for indoor decorations after the leaves are taken off. It's a much prettier stalk if the leaves are removed and just these little pink clusters of flowers. It does not belong to the bamboo family, however, and that is an incorrect name for it, but that's what it's practically always called, so far as we've heard. It belongs to the same family as our silver lace vine. That family is Polygonum, P-O-L-Y-G-A-N-U-M. And this one is Polygonum orientale, which means from the Orient. So it's generally called Japanese bamboo.
The same lady sent a leaf out of which another plant was growing. What is it, and why has it stopped blooming?
It's a strange thing that we go for months without getting a question about some particular plant, and then four or five times in the same week from different sections of the country, the same question comes. Now, that's true about this one. Paul, it takes us back to the Wilkie campaign. You remember when we talked about the plant, and Paul smiled every time we used the name of this one, which is Marica. And Paul used to recall the great Mr. Wilkie's expression of saying the United States of America. Well, this one is Marica, M-A-R-I-C-A. It belongs to the iris family. It is a tender pot plant, and you can grow it just beautifully if you will divide it at least every 2 years. Now, when the plant gets into a big clump and they becomes crowded in the pot, they stop blooming. So that's the one that blooms out on the end of the leaves, you know, and then the new plant forms are right on the end of the leaf in the air. That is the plant you're talking about, and if you will divide it, you will continue to get good bloom from it. Now, here is our honor gardener for today.
In the order of the green thumb, all nominees receive a tricky little pocket-sized membership card. To the one especially selected each week, we also send a seed certificate from Detroit, a new rose plant from Newark, New York, and an autographed copy of the old Dirt Dobbers Illustrated Garden Book.
Our Green Thumb Awards go today to a lady whose gardening ability and generosity have made her one of the best-loved persons in Illinois. I'm going to read the closing line of the letter of nomination that came. If you want to reward a person who not only works miracles in her garden, but who also knows how to share her joy in the results, Mrs. James C. Mayer of La Harpe, Illinois, seems to be a wonderful choice. We thought so ourselves.
And to the lady who wrote that letter, we're sending duplicate awards. She is Miss Helen Ingram, the Woman's College of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, North Carolina.
Our compliments to those, and if you know someone who has that knack, let us know about it, and we'll send a membership card with your compliments.
A Blooming Grove, New York gardener sends these leaves and berries and wonders if you know what they are and how to grow them.
Every year we get those, and we start off by telling that friend and others who might have been listening for that this year, that is the one which is called in the mountains, Hearts A-Bustin' With Love. It has those clusters of berries, those Each berry very much like a miniature red chestnut burr, pops open, and the very brilliant orange seeds hang down, just dependent from that. And each section of the hull there is the shape of a heart. And it looks, I suppose you would say it came from the fact that it looks like two or three drops of blood coming out of a heart. And that's the mountain name for it, is Hearts A-Bustin' With Love. It is a true Euonymus, one of our native types, Euonymus americana, and that is sometimes called swamp dogwood, sometimes called brook Euonymus. There are several varieties of that, several native kinds. It's easily grown, doesn't require any care at all, except just ordinarily good garden soil. It's very reliably hardy. You can grow that from the plants you bring from the woods, or a great many of the nurserymen do list that. And if you want to find it, we can tell you where to get it.
This listener in South Plainfield, New Jersey, sends a catalog which lists a peony-flowered poppy. Some weeks ago, you told someone that such a poppy could not be purchased.
Well, I suppose we'd better explain what we meant by the peony-flowered poppy. The question we had was the annual type. That is the big ball type of the annual poppy. That, we explained at the time, is the opium poppy. I don't know what you read. Is either in the Saturday Evening Post or Collier's within the last three or four weeks? An interesting article about that poppy being grown all through sections of northern Mexico, and how they have to watch and go down into these valleys at times, and the police have to watch very carefully and the growing of this particular poppy, and that is the opium poppy. Now, the catalog page with that lady so kindly sent, that is a picture of an oriental poppy. It is a peony flower, double type. But that's a perennial oriental poppy, and it's not the same thing that we're talking about. I think we still are correct in saying that the seeds of the annual type of big peony-flowered double poppy are not obtainable. I think we still are correct in that. But it was the annual type about which we were talking. So now it's the verse time here at the garden gate. Today's original garden poem came from Mrs. Cleone Montgomery. She lives at 1340 Rose Street, Berkeley, California. She's going to receive the garden book, the new rose plant from Newark, New York, and a valuable seed certificate from Detroit. With appropriate music by Mary Elizabeth Hicks, here is Miss Montgomery's verse called Rooted.
It's very true that we should be moving. A better house. Not so far to go. But the slim young apricots whisper, sighing. I've waited years for their buds to show. The newer house that we've almost chosen has formal gardens, stately and fine. They're wider lawns, but I didn't sow them. And taller trees, but they wouldn't be mine. My rambler reaches a clutching finger. The snowball tiptoes to read my mind. There's a struggling rose in that farthest corner I know a stranger would never find. This sturdy chrysanthemum wants dividing. Some things prosper when moved away. But other roots won't bear transplanting. There's no use talking. We're going to stay.
This is the old Ed Dollar stepping back into your garden to thank you for another pleasant visit today.
We close the garden gate with the hope that you'll join us next week over your Columbia station for another visit with the old Ed Dollar, Audrey Holmes, Mary Elizabeth Hicks, and your gate closer, Paul Oliphant. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.